Parsec, a whole new show exploring sci-fi and science fiction in all its manifestations.
What does the future sound like?
Coming on Sunday for Siren 107.3 FM.
What does the future sound like?
The future will be silent.
What does the future
with your pilots Dave Milling and Alex Levchuk. And a positive galaxy of co-presentational stars.
The future will be silent.
You're listening to Siren 107.3 FM. It is Parsec. And whether it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, it's the very best in science fiction news. We go convention crazy with San Diego Comic Con and Worldcon, and Dave Milling somewhere in the time continuum. Exciting things about Parsec is we obviously go that extra mile, as indeed does SFX magazine, because they've actually sort of given one of their top operatives, in fact the deputy editor, one of the most traumatic tasks possible in all sorts of ways for SF fandom and various other bits and pieces, because they've actually sent him off to San Diego for the 2014 San Diego Comic Con. Richard Edwards, welcome to Parsec. You must be going through heck and back over there in San Diego.
Oh, it's not quite started yet. This is the sort of relatively quiet beginning. It's just been preview night where you sort of get your first view of the convention centre and everything. But it's going to start getting busy tomorrow.
Okay, San Diego.
Things really get started.
Well, that's great. So tell us where you are now, because we gather you're actually walking to the hotel room as we speak, where it's approaching the witching hour.
Yes, we are. Yeah, it's 11:15 over here. So we're sort of getting a little bit away from, well, I guess you could say we're in downtown San Diego, walking sort of across some massive sort of Californian blocks to get back home. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's like stepping into a TV show, basically. Any moment now, you could probably see a police chase taking place. You think, oh, it's Hunter or somebody else.
We do hope so, you know. I mean, we expect them to lay that sort of thing on for us when we come over.
It's what we Brits expect from that point of view.
Exactly.
Now, clearly, in terms of the venue itself, people have been saying it's almost too big for San Diego and Las Vegas, and obviously Los Angeles have been sniffing around, talking about the possibility of the San Diego Comic Con International, which would be a bit interesting in terms of location name change alone. But the town itself, or the city of San Diego, really goes crazy for this. I mean, literally, is it a case of as you're wandering through the streets now, you see people dressed as superheroes? Heroes and costume characters round every corner?
We're a little bit further out than that now, though. When you're sort of within four or five blocks of the convention centre, it's just packed. You know, if you're not a stormtrooper or someone from Game of Thrones, you know, you stick out. It really does take over the city. I think that's one of the wonderful things about San Diego. You know, it's a small enough city that it can just be the biggest thing on. And I think the event ever did move to LA or Las Vegas, you know, where there's events all the time, all these hotels, I think it would just be dwarfed and it would just be any other event. Whereas here, it's just part of the city and it just feels like massive. It's great.
So what
it's
are you?
A lovely city.
Well, of course. So what are you dressed as, Richard? What's your ideal cosplay outfit? You need to let the listener know.
I haven't really got into the spirit on that side. I mean, I could argue that maybe I'm a sort of evil clone.
I was thinking maybe a kind of newspaper reporter secretly disguised as a superhero looking for the telephone booth. It's just a thought.
Well, Well, I am wearing glasses.
Yeah, well, exactly.
No one recognises me, so,
exactly.
You know.
This is the critical thing. One quote that I heard a few years ago about the Comic-Con was fantastic. It's, there's a frenetic energy to the place, a prevalent buzz of excitement that you simply can't fabricate. Would you say that's a fair comment?
It's very, very accurate. You know, it's on a scale that I don't think Brits can quite comprehend, because it just down to the fact that the convention centre is so big. Mm. But, you know, my colleague, Dave Bradley, the editor of SFX, has said it's a whole city, really. You know, there's 130,000 people. You know, that's bigger than a lot of British cities, and they're all here for this one event. It's incredible.
Clearly bigger than what we're looking forward to attending in August, which of course is the 72nd World Science Fiction Convention. That's at the XL London Docklands. Apparently you could fit several XL centres into the San Diego site. Is that fair enough?
I'd say, though, I think it would be a logistical nightmare moving the XL centre over to San Diego.
Mm. Like London Bridge. And you've had, obviously, the preview. What are you most looking forward to for the 2014 event? Because, I mean, we've had, over the years, we've had guys from, obviously, Game of Thrones, from a lot of genre series. We've had people from Burn Notice, for heaven's sake, coming across. We've had the reveal of, obviously, the X-Men Days of Future Past. We've had Joss Whedon turning up with Age of Ultron stuff. What's the kind of buzz this year in terms of media exposure that you're sort of thinking, yeah, I want to make sure I'm front in the queue for that one?
I think it's Marvel again. I think Marvel have really made the sort of Saturday night, the sort of last shot up in Hall H, which is the really big auditorium where, you know, all the big film stars and the film clips come. Marvel have really made that their own over the last few years, like the Avengers reveal that you were just talking about. And this year, I think we're going to see stuff from Avengers Age of Ultron. So I think Joss Whedon will be here. I also think we're going to hear some announcements about what Marvel are doing next. So I think we'll probably find out about Doctor Strange movie. Maybe, you know, there's rumours flying around that there's an Iron Man 4. Maybe we'll find out that Robert Downey Jr. is doing that. So I think that's where the really big news is. Also, I think Warner Brothers are doing a panel, and it's quite likely, I think, that we'll hear something about Superman versus Batman, which, of course, is one of the biggest movies out in 2016. The big surprise, though, is that I don't think we're going to see very much about the new Star Wars movie. I think we're going to have to wait for next year to see.
Well, as most of it's being shot in Britain, we don't need to worry too much about that. Surely just sort of sneak into the studios around about Shepperton Pinewood or various other things. I'm sure we could actually find that stuff out. Only kidding, J.J. Abrams. Only kidding.
He'll know.
He has his finger on the pulse from that point of view. Of course, Superman vs. Batman, subtitle The Rise of Justice, suggests there might well be a Wonder Woman content as well, really, with respect to Gal Gadot, I think, who's got the lead role as the Amazonian princess. So, interesting stuff. I'm personally waiting for Aquaman to emerge. You know, I think that'll be, you know, a really cool one for the system from that point of view.
There are rumours that Aquaman is going to be cast, so, you know, he might be in there as well.
Exactly. It's like the Justice League of America come to life. Listen, I think we've provided a wonderful little flavour of the excitement that's taking place at the San Diego Comic-Con, for which we appreciate your time. As you've multitasked, you see, Richard, proving you are a superhero, you can actually walk through the streets of downtown San Diego and connect with your fans on the British show Parsec and, of course, Siren 107.3 FM as well. Truly wonderful. And, of course, actually, this is going out for the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, so great stuff there. I'm tempted to sort of wrap up with, as opposed to those last two questions, just throwing in the classic line, by the hoary hosts of Hogarth, or by omnipotent Oshtir. And people who have been listening to this might actually appreciate the joys of Stephen Strange in that particular aspect. But my Eye of Agamotto suggests that you're approaching the hotel. So can I simply say, Richard Edwards, many thanks for joining us today. Hopefully we'll connect again in the very near future. Maybe we might do a little snippet, a little smidgen, when you're actually at the hotel room, maybe midway through the convention. What do you think?
Let's work something out. That would be brilliant.
Richard Edwards, Deputy Editor of SFX Magazine, latest edition out today with five, choice of five covers. Amazing. We salute you. Take care. Many thanks. For
only I could turn back time. If only I had said what I still had. If only I could turn back time, I would stay for the night. If only I could turn back time. If only I had said what I still had. If only I could turn back time, I would stay for the night. If only I could. If only I could. If only I could turn back time, I would stay for the night. If only I could.
So once again, you're listening to Parsec on Siren 107.3 FM. Dave Milling, how can people get in touch with Parsec?
They can tweet us at underscore... Oh, no, it's at Parsec underscore SIG, Sierra India Golf.
It's just as well. It's just as well. We actually sort of can record these as live, and don't worry about edits. You know, we sort of make sure the thing actually the flow goes through. It's wonderful stuff. We'll say that again before too long. Dave, we have got a little challenge for you coming up now because I know you always like to put in themes. I don't know if you guessed the theme because in essence I had to do the theme for the last show because you were out and about doing all sorts of things. Well, I think it was after we did the fabulous location report at the Ritz. Of course, you needed to go and have a lie down, so that was it. I had to sort of sort things through from that point of view. Did you get the theme for the last show, by the way?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
No.
Oh, well, you can listen back to it, obviously, on podcast and check that out. Well, the theme today is basically it's letter A, but to actually sort of work through that in terms of the letter A, which I just threw that, I thought I'd give you a range of little testing things here, because I've got five TV themes here, all of which, surprisingly enough, yeah, they all begin with the letter A, and all have a fantasy element in them. Now, I could appreciate that at least one of them you might turn around and say, oi, does that fit with Parsec? I think it does. Anyway, are you ready?
I'm ready.
To take on board this now. So I'll move through them relatively briskly. So, if you're playing along at home or you're listening in any shape or form, just sort of make sure they're sort of through here. So it's the first official Milling challenge to see if he can get all five of these little areas. And obviously you get that because it's Paradise by Coldplay. I don't know why we actually set that up in the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm almost about to say we'll start off all over again. You see, we were building up on that thing.
I thought, why are you playing with Coldplay?
Yeah, it did, exactly. Anyway, that's two, so we're guaranteed to have at least a third error as the show proceeds because these things come in threes. A one, a two, a three. Your lot. So, how do you think you did, Dave Milling? Co-host, of course, co-founder of Parsec, etc. Five totally distinctive themes there. Little short clips from admittedly, but five major ones to actually launch what is actually Volume 6? Volume 6, who would have thought it? Volume 6 of Parsec.
I'm not doing very well at this. I got Adamant Libs, but basically because that was Adamant in it. Second one, the last one was the Aquamarina.
Are you asking me or telling me?
I think it was. I'm fairly sure you cut it off before it went Marina.
Yeah. Okay. So we're saying two then from that point of view.
The xylophone, Andy Pandy.
Again, are you asking me or telling me that?
No, I'm telling you.
Yeah. Well, I think so. You're saying you've got 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5.
Yeah. Well, that's quite a reasonable, respectable score. I mean, it is. I would have thought the atom amount was fairly straightforward. So, I take it that you didn't identify this? If I give you a few clues as we launch with this, it starred Gary Graham. Any sort of advance on that? Gary Graham, of course, has been in Enterprise. He played a Vulcan in Enterprise. Played a Vulcan ambassador in terms of that. He played a human being in this particular number.
There's got to be something called Andromeda. Atlantis?
No.
No, I've no idea.
Obviously, it does begin with A, but it's two words. The first one begins with an A. The second word is nation.
I've still no idea.
So you do not recall that time where we were actually thrilled to the excitement of Alien Nation?
Oh. No, I've never seen that.
See, this is the thing about Parsec, Dave. Every so often we like to introduce folk to hurry. Use one of those Google search engine type things to actually call up Alien Nation, and you'll find that spot on in every sense of the word.
Alien
Nation. A movie as well, of course, as it was made. And it was developed, I think, by Kenneth Johnson, responsible for The Bionic Woman, and indeed V, which obviously...
Oh, I've heard of V.
Yeah. Long way down the whole sequence there, so that was Alien Nation there. You are absolutely spot on with this next one. This is the one I thought we might sort of say, arguably, is this science fiction? I'm going to throw into the fact that I believe this is hardcore fantasy.
I can't wait to hear your theory on this. Why?
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Well, I mean, you've got obviously an animated marionette, Mr. Pandy, or Monsieur Pandy. You've got obviously Luby Lou, who is androgynous in every sense of always. It's been possibly female. Teddy, of course, who's actually there, all in the same box. It could almost be, you know, the Doctor and his two companions.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, you're probably too young to remember Andy Pandy, actually. Or were you?
No. What they've done is they, for CBeebies a while back, or Channel 5 milkshake sort of thing, they did new versions of Andy Pandy for an animated version for the kids. About 10, 15 years ago, and they still repeat them.
Whether they do the same for Muffin the Mule, of course, is open to discussion and debate.
I think Muffin the Mule is now super glue, to be fair.
Yes. You were absolutely right when you actually identified Andromeda as coming up.
The long night has come. The system's commonwealth, the greatest civilization in history, has fallen. But now, one ship... One crew have vowed to drive back the night and rekindle the light of civilization. On the starship Andromeda, hope lives again.
So what in between choking with emotion, Dave, was it that identified Andromeda? Because we didn't obviously leave Dylan Hunt's opening lyrics and opening introduction to you there. What did Andromeda float your boat at all?
No, I've never seen it. However, I'm aware that there was and this is a wild guess, Alex. I have to desperately reveal my source. There was once a science fiction series. I think Sidney Newman was involved in it.
We're talking about
for Andromeda.
There was indeed, absolutely.
Back in the '60s. So that basically, because you were saying letter A, the only thing I could think of was Andromeda. And you think Andromeda because there's bound to be something science fiction with Andromeda, so there you go.
Well, of course, Andromeda, its connection with Star Trek, Dave? You probably won't get this one. Created by the same individual, Gene Roddenberry, after he passed away, found a number of unfinished TV pilots and things, which Major Barrett Roddenberry, the late Major Barrett, of course, who portrayed Nurse Christine Chapel in the original Star Trek series, she took on board together with Eugene Roddenberry, Gene's son, and they developed that. And one of those series which went into development was Earth Final Conflict, and the other major one was, of course, Andromeda, which was all, as you heard there, about the starship Andromeda after the long night had fallen. Kind of like, and I emphasise sort of kind of like, Blake 7 in terms of its format and its, its line of things. So, again, astounded you haven't managed to catch that. It was a series certainly from the 90s and early part of the 21st century, available, of course, on DVD now. And Andromeda, starring, of course, the erstwhile Hercules, Kevin Sorbo, in the lead role. So there we are. That's astounding with respect to that. And equally, in terms of the science fiction hardcore nuts,
from an atom, it's adamant. His strength, his might, his speed, his fight. He's adamant, that tiny ant, and his atomic power has what it takes and always makes the vilest villain cower. He's rough, he's tough, and bad guys yell it off when he is up and adamant.
Not, of course, to be confused with Adamant Stand and Deliver, easily done, but completely different individuals. And
yeah.
I appreciate you could easily sort of get that. No, we're talking about the Adamant cartoon. You can even actually see Adamant meets other superheroes. You know, one of the Hanna-Barbera collection of superhero series that many people were much loved and much focused through. And who could ever forget Adamant? Secret Squirrel was always my personal favourite, actually. Well, it was wonderful.
I like the Jetsons. You could have had that. It's very sad. Fiction.
They didn't begin with an A, of course.
I know, but I'm just talking about Hanna-Barbera.
Yes.
Barbara.
Yeah. Joseph Hanna, William Barbara, or Barbera. Hanna-Barbera. It's a wonderful sort of scenario. Notice the way I managed to introduce this little theme, because I figured I'd given up on asking, have you actually completed Neuromancer or the Rorschach texts, or indeed the latest wonderful award-winning number of do you know, I've forgotten the actual title of the latest SFX...
Justice thing, wasn't
exactly.
It?
Ancillary Justice.
Ancillary Justice.
Exactly.
Yes, that begins with an A.
Yes. You haven't caught any of those as yet.
I've started the Rorschach text. I'm sticking with it. It's good. I'm enjoying it.
Oh.
And I should I'm taking it away to finish. It's about 300 pages long, so I'm taking it away to finish on holiday.
A little helpful clue, of course, not all of those pages are actually full pages.
I've noticed,
So there's a big chunk where you actually just have a shark literally swinging through it, hence the notion it's the raw shark text. Despite the fact that I actually did give you, not a spoiler, but I did suggest that from my reading of it, I felt that there were certain elements in common with Neuromancer, you're sticking with the raw shark text as opposed to saying, no, I've had enough with respect to this William Gibson Neuromancer thing, and I can get no further.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've stuck with it, but for me, the Neuromancer just started... I know what to expect with the Rorschach text, but the Neuromancer just sort of... It was leading me down... I just couldn't get on with it. I just couldn't get on with it at all. I just thought things were happening too randomly for my liking. I know some people like randomness, but I'm being a random person myself. It was too random for me. It was more random than the England cricket team, which is...
It's all down to Cookie, I suppose. Yeah. which, of course, begins with an A. Alistair.
Exactly,
yeah. We're just playing it through here. I don't think the rest of the show will continue much in the vein of the A, but we'll see what actually happens as far as that concerns. So, yes, the Rorschach text, of course, written by Stephen Hall all the way back in 2007, but still echoing, and I think Channel 4 have actually optioned it as a possible series, but they haven't really seemed to have developed it too much as far as that's concerned. In a matter of weeks, of course, it will be the fabulous World Science Fiction Convention. We're hopefully going to be there for at least one of those days. I'd had hoped to be making all five, but we'll see how things go from that. You will be on holiday, of course, Dave, will you not?
Yes, I am, and also missing the Doctor Who convention.
Well, never mind.
So I'm mightily mightily upset with that one, Alex.
Hopefully you will be around for, it also begins with an A, for the upcoming science fiction literary quiz, which we're hopefully going to be hosting at the Ritz sometime in late October, early November time.
Hopefully I will be, because hopefully you'll be using me as a sort of gopher with a microphone or something.
As
a stage hand.
Well, I like to feel we're co-presenters on this day. The
fact I'd like to be there, yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that's quite a good thing, yeah.
So it's all wonderful stuff. Okay, well, that pretty much brings to an end the sort of little segment which we have called Dave Milling on the Phone, which is great. You know, I didn't think we'd actually introduce it on that, as obviously Parsec continues. How can people get involved with Parsec if they're listening to this, Dave?
Well, they can tweet at Parsec_SIG. I said it there. Mm. Well done. Or email studio at soundonline.co.uk with the subject matter Parsec.
Exactly. And as we wrap up with the final A, of course, that we had in this particular sequence, we'll have the whole delivery in full force. These days, I suppose, Gerry Anderson would not, were he still alive, be able to get away with the line, "Yes, I always wanted to have a beautiful woman who didn't say a word," because obviously that was part and parcel of Aquamarina's charm in many ways. Although, do you know the real reason she couldn't actually speak, Dave Milley? Now, it wasn't because she'd been listening to an episode of Parsec and said, "I can take no more of this. I've been time traveling and so on."
Was she? Did she have issue with her adenoids?
It was because she was under the curse of Titan, a ruler of Titanica, that if she uttered one word, and this was actually revealed in the Century 21 dramatic audio play Marina Speaks, if she uttered one word, her entire city of Persephone and father would actually come to a catastrophic end.
Oh, dear.
So that is the reason she had to be shtum, zipped. Zip it. Nothing. Not a word. Absolutely. Couldn't say diddly squat. Could indicate. Could tap.
Yes.
Like that on the Stingray routine, but couldn't actually do anything else, and that's the reason. So there we are, a little bit of a revelation there for people who might have had a passing interest in the World Aquanaut Security Patrol, and in particular, why Aquamarina was actually silent.
Well, I am stunned.
Well, yeah, I like to feel that we have at least one stunning moment on every Parsec show.
Well, what I could do, Alex, because today is the theme of A, and I don't know the answer yet, but I suspect it's very low, thinking through my brain. What I could say is name the Doctor Who stories that begin with an A.
Begin with an A. So
yeah,
offhand, I can't recall any.
Exactly. Hmm. But there might be some listener out there thinking, "No, you've forgotten."
If there is, how can they get in touch with us?
They can email studio@sirenonline.co.uk with Parsec in the subject matter.
Fantastic.
Right, and the Doctor, I can think of one already. And then they can email Parsec_SIG, Sierra India Golf.
Absolutely. Still to come on the show today, more from SFX Magazine, and indeed we'll be speaking to a couple of top science fiction authors and writers as the thing continues, bringing you the very best in our own little take on matters Parsecian in the world, or matters to do with science fiction, fantasy, and so on. Dave, we salute you. Enjoy your holiday wherever you happen to be. I'm sure it'll be top stuff, but when this actually you might be listening to this online. You know, you might sort of think,
cheat on this.
And what are these strange enchantments that start whenever you're near? What does that actually come from? What are these strange enchantments that start whenever you're near? I thought you'd be straight in there, Dave.
What are these strange
enchantments that start whenever you're near?
Work
that into the conversation, either at work or in the domestic environment, possibly when you're actually doing some cooking of cakes, etc. Just drop it in, and you will know if people are Parsec listeners, because they'll say, what are these strange enchantments that start whenever you're near?
That'll be for Marina.
Marina, Aquamarina, what are these strange enchantments that start whenever you're near? Marina. can't you whisper the words that my heart is longing to hear? You're magic to me, a beautiful mystery. I'm certain to fall, I know, because you enthrall me so. Aquamarina, why don't you say that you'll always stay close to my heart?
Okay, it's almost here, almost here. What is it? Well, it's the thing we've been excited about since, well, 2014 actually became 2014. Louis Savvy was excited about it from Sci-Fi London earlier in the year. The guys at SFX magazine are very excited about the whole thing. Parsec, obviously, Dave Milling, almost beside himself, as indeed we are on Siren 107.3 FM and Southside Broadcasting. Of course, it's the 72nd World Science Fiction Convention coming to London between the 14th and 18th of August, and we're delighted to be able to welcome to the airwaves now the co-chairman of Worldcon, the amazingly talented Steve Cooper. Steve, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Excellent to actually see this thing really begin to take place. I mean, you can scarce believe it. 49 years since the capital actually hosted the World Science Fiction Convention, Hugo Awards and everything, and it's almost here.
This will be actually the first time London will have hosted the Hugo Awards, because they actually started in about 1957, I think, so we probably missed it.
Absolutely. Much beloved, of course, for City on the Edge of Forever, which, of course, was the Star Trek episode, which won a Hugo Award. I speak about that before, obviously, our Doctor Who award-winning things for media things and so on.
Yep.
And, of course, named after, I mean, the Hugo Awards very much...
Back.
Yeah, exactly. And the Oscars, the Academy Awards of the science fiction world and so on and so
That's
forth.
That's how they've been described, yes.
Yeah, I think so. I won't get into the possibilities of Anne Leckie, or not, as the case may be, because I know there have been various challenges that have been raised about that, which we won't go into at this stage. That's for another story. But from your own point of view, presumably planning for Worldcon pretty much started, what, 4 or 5 years ago?
Started in 2008,
yep.
All things.
There you are.
So that's 6 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the XL Centre, having been there for a few of the SFX-oriented events in recent years, in which I think it was MJ Simpson, as you find it, is an aircraft hangar. Oh, it could have been one of the chaps from Stargate, one or two things. It's something which really is probably ideal for hosting Worldcon, because you do need something which is spacious and can actually accommodate what, as you'd expect, is the biggest travelling science fiction convention on the planet.
Yes, it is now. When we first looked at XL, it actually wasn't going to be suitable because it was lots of just hall space, and we do have an awful lot of programming as well.
Yeah.
But as they told us when we went to look at the site, but we've got lots of programming space coming in 2013.
Excellent, and indeed that's...
That's what we have.
Yeah. Well, we checked it out earlier in the year, of course, with the London Boat Show, and we thought, well, if we could host the London Boat Show, then I kind of felt that actually, yes, it would be probably okay for the World Science Fiction Convention. Of course, that opens up the way for Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea, Stingray, and indeed the Nautilus from Captain Nemo to emerge. But I won't. just a thought there, a bit of last minute planning. Steve, in terms of the event itself, I mean, clearly Parsec, this show is dedicated to folk who actually have an appreciation for matter science fiction. But for the casual listener who's sort of thinking in and tuning in and sort of says, well, this is all very good, but where does the World Science Fiction Convention differ, for instance, from the San Diego Comic Convention, which obviously has just come to an end?
I guess it's the breadth of what it covers. World Science Fiction Convention will cover everything from media through to literature. It will be covering science itself, and we have a number of key speakers, including Alan Bond, talking about Skylon, and Lord Rees, the Astronomer Royal, and various other key speakers. We'll be covering music. We're having a full-size Philharmonic Orchestra playing at the convention on the Friday night. And, of course, we give out the Hugo Awards, which are probably, say, as you say, the most recognised awards in the genre. Mm.
And those of us who are chronologically gifted enough to actually remember SF when it was deemed to be marginalised in certain ways, and you'd have a notion, as Dave Gelder would once say in his days as editor of SFX, that the geeks would inherit the Earth. That's actually, I mean, you know, I think the respectability, partly because, as we've just been saying on a number of interviews, we are living in a science fiction world. I mean, this whole notion of science fiction being about prediction, if that was ever the case, I know that writers like John Jarrell, agents, etc., like John Jarrell, have said, well, we moved on a bit from that point of view. It's something which is reflecting the cultural industries of our time as much as the kind of drive for humanity to actually be better than we are.
Yeah, science fiction has always been about sort of giving a view of the current society it was written in, and it's one of the best things I like reading about classic science fiction, is that you get an idea, you get something, you can look back on it, basically you can do it with hindsight sort of thing and see where they were coming from. So it's never been so much about prediction, although there have been attempts at prediction, in that I know Isaac Asimov gave a number of predictions, I can't remember exactly when, it was about 25, 30 years ago, and one of the programmers we've got is to actually examine his predictions and see how well they came off.
Mm. And certainly if you look back over the work of H.G. Wells, I mean, the prolific amounts, I mean, Stephen Baxter actually said that from his perspective, The Time Machine is probably one of the most perfect novels written, let alone it's sort of science fiction aspect. It sort of addresses so many things. And then there's Island of Dr. Moreau, clearly the War of the Worlds, and The Invisible Man. So heaps of good stuff from there. And keeping the time theme going, I see you've got that wonderful Audrey Niffenegger, author, of course, of The Time Traveller's Wife, who's actually scheduled to give the first H.G. Wells lecture at LongCon 3.
Yes, we're very excited about that. When Independent approached us to do this at LongCon, we thought, yeah, this is perfect. Mm. She's never been seen at a science fiction convention before, I don't believe, so this is going to be her first.
In subsequent scenarios, you'll be getting the Handmaid's Tale Margaret Atwood to actually admit she writes science fiction as opposed to speculative fantasy. But still,
yeah.
That's a whole new routine in terms of definitions and so on. Looking at, again, theatrical performance, you've got the world premiere of The Anubis Gates.
Yes, this is based on Tim Power's phenomenal novel, The Anubis Gates, and it's been performed by a US theatre company who are coming over to the UK specifically to do the premiere at Worldcon, and that, I believe, is on the Saturday afternoon.
Which is, again, just part of the multimedia approach that we've actually got here. I mean, quite apart from, obviously, the social networking and media, you've got a TV screenings programme, a whole range of archive material that comes through that, and, of course, yes, what would a science fiction event be without cosplay? It's become kind of really sort of writ large in terms of the whole setup and some of the quality of the costumes. I mean, it's phenomenal in many ways.
They are. Cosplay has been a major part of Worldcon for, well, as long as I've been going to Worldcon. I remember going to my first Worldcon in 87, and one of the big events there was what was called the Masquerade. Costumes in part of Worldcon long enough. Basically, we missed out on the calling it cosplay and stuff like that, so we called it Masquerade. And the Masquerade on the Saturday night is one of the big events.
Certainly, that's one of the sort of must attends in all sorts of ways. But looking at the exhibit hall alone, I mean, this is the great thing about an event such as this. And I can see people flying over from San Diego and immediately turning around and saying, "Right, it's time for London now." It is actually, if you're an SF fan, at this particular time in our lives, it's a superb experience. But the range of exhibits that you've got there, including a Tiki Dalek that I've actually seen on show. What's the Tiki Dalek?
I must admit, I have never seen it before.
No,
so, I do know about it. Oh. It's basically it's what it says in the word. Basically, it's a Dalek. Basically, if a Dalek decided to go on vacation in Hawaii, it's what it would end up looking like.
Yeah, thanks for. I mean, the great thing again about it is it's a wonderful way of actually sharing some thoughts with some of our regulars from past times. Of course, Brian Talbot, who's based up in Sunderland, of course, he will be there. A whole heap of others. We've got our colleagues from Fanderson as well. What are you most looking forward to in terms of the event itself? And please don't say when it all wraps up on the 18th of August.
Actually, one of the events I'm really looking forward to is not so well mentioned, is our Retro Hugo Awards. Mm. In that, one of the things we do for Worldcon, if basically you're the 25th, 50th, or 70th anniversary of a Worldcon that never awarded the Hugos, that you are allowed to award a retrospective Hugo for that World year. Yeah. And we basically are the 75th anniversary of the very first Worldcon in New York. And so we are having an award ceremony based on for the 1938-1939 literature, which is full of wonderful things. And we've decided to basically make it a big 1930s show. So there's basically going to be music. It's going to be a big music and show extravaganza. And I'm just telling everybody, you know, you've got to go to that. It may not seem like it's going to be very great fun, but it will be.
I think everything will actually be there. In fact, it's going to be a case of just selecting what aspects you wish to sort of touch base, which is why planning is absolutely essential. Now, are tickets still available for Worldcon 2014?
Yes. You'll be able to pay right up to the day. We basically can go online to our website, and you can either buy a 5-day ticket, which of course is the cheapest way of buying if you're attending for 3 or more days, or you can buy individual day tickets.
And as ever, longcon3.org is the web address.
Yep.
You can also go Twitter, longcon3, Tumblr, of course, longcon3, and, of course, London in 2014, which is the Facebook connection from that point of view. We'd be remiss not to give a full acknowledgement to Ian M. Banks, of course, and the connection with SF that he produced in so many ways. We had a special tribute for him at one of the Lincoln-inspired events that we put together, much smaller sort of scale, but sort of in earlier days, and it's I have a suspicion that that Ian will be looking down sort of smiling sweetly in terms of the fact that we've got a full sort of acknowledgement for him at Worldcon.
We do hope so. He was really chuffed when we invited him to be guest of honour. Mm. And this is before he found out about his illness.
Sure,
and he was
sure.
Really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
But we say he's still one of our guests of honour, in that Worldcon guest of honour is like entering a Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
So,
equally, I can see Asimov, Arthur C. Clarke, and Robert Heinlein all looking down, saying great stuff for it from that point of view. Very sort of, almost those are the last question at this particular stage. Mentioned, obviously, a lot of the masculine areas there. There's gradually a shift as well in terms of gender. I mean, clearly there have been some fantastic writers of SF who are women. Anne McCaffrey springs to mind, a whole heap of others. We mentioned, obviously, Anne Leckie this year, who's up for an award and has been hoovering them up in all sorts of ways. But there is a nice sort of gender bounce here. And, of course, your co-director, indeed, Alice, who we'll be speaking to later on in the sequence, she's also sort of quite keen, I would have thought, to obviously ensure that it's... a nice balance of genders as well
you can actually see in that we did try to get some sort of a broad base thing, but we actually looked back on our program. We were looking at all the panel items with 3 or more panelists on it rather than the solo ones. And there actually is a majority of women on those panels now, and that just came about purely naturally, sort of thing, but just wanting to try and get as many people on panels as possible, and it just happened. I think science fiction is no longer just a male preserve now. It is a real male and female.
And indeed, many people would actually say quite rightly so too, from that point of view. British Interplanetary Society is one of the aspects I'm particularly looking forward to checking out, from imagination to reality. It could almost be the theme for Long Kong, really, in that sort of sense. The motto of the British Interplanetary Society, which I originally thought, surely this is something out of Quatermass. But yeah, it's more than that. It's great stuff. It's been fabulous touching base with your good self, Steve, just to get a little flavour, a little smidgen of the event. I mean, we certainly hope we'll be down there covering at least a day of the actual package from that point of view. A reminder, of course, you can access details via longcon3.org. We've got two final critical questions, which are essential in every sense of the word. First of all, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
I have enjoyed it greatly.
So the next critical question is, can we look forward to hopefully connecting with you again? If not at the event itself, certainly as a sort of postscript, obviously keep the joys sort of Worldcon resonating.
I'm always happy to talk about Worldcon.
And actually, I mean, in terms of for future years, is it a case of once you've wrapped this particular one, do you just say, right, okay, hand over the baton? I mean, is it like the Olympic Games? How does it sort of function on that basis?
There is. A lot of the people who are working on Longcon, this may be the only Worldcon they work on because they're local British fans and they don't travel very much. Other people, like myself, Worldcon is basically the centre of my fanish life, really. Yeah. And I've worked on lots of previous Worldcons. I've been vision heads on two previous ones. This is the first one I've chaired, and probably the last one I will chair. And that's not something you end up doing twice. It's a lot of work.
So just like the Olympics, really.
Yeah.
You are the Sebastian Coe of Worldcon, Lord Coe. In fact, yeah, I think that has a nice ring to it. I'll start the campaign now. We might go for a knighthood first, so we go Sir Steve Cooper, and then we'll go for Lordship afterwards. Steve, it's been fabulous, and I feel astounded we haven't sort of featured you before, but we've put that to rights now, and we'll speak again very soon.
All right, thank you very much.
You're my last breath. You're a breath of fresh air to me. I am empty, so tell me your care for me. You're the first thing and the last thing on my mind. In your arms I feel sunshine.
Give up yourself until the morning. The time is now.
Okay, well, it's even more wonderful on passing now, because although Dave Milling has clearly decided to go off into the dark dimension, we were speaking earlier in the production with one of our fine folk, indeed SFX's greatest deputy editor, Richard Edwards, who was over at the San Diego Comic Conference, who was wandering through the streets there just as it was about to start. Now, with the magic of time travel on Parsec being the sort of thing it is, and after having spoken to the fine folk at Worldcon, we're getting very excited about, obviously, the upcoming 72nd World Science Fiction Convention. We can actually go back to Richard Edwards and say, well, Richard, it seems like only 30-odd minutes ago we were speaking to you when you were just at the start of the San Diego Convention, the Comic Con, and here you are. It's all been packaged, etc. Did you enjoy it, sir?
Yes, it was really good. Yeah, it was a big, exciting bash, as it always is.
So this side of the Atlantic, we've been hearing a great deal about. Clearly, you had the Marvel team there in full force. We had Burt Ward and Adam West promoting, yes, obviously, the upcoming Batman DVDs, which are great. I think it's fair to say Adam West seems to have become more chronologically gifted in a slightly better form than Burt, who possibly has maybe had a bit too many pies, but it's just a thought, really. Still, I don't think he could do the tights these days. Minor sort of point, really, but you know, it was interesting. What about your thoughts about the Doctor Strange movie? Has it been announced? Where are we going with that?
It hasn't. No, the Marvel panel was actually a bit of a disappointment, or as much of a disappointment as it can be when you've got
Mark Ruffalo, Scarlett Johansson, and
Scarlett Johansson was okay. Scarlett Johansson was pretty much the exception. She was the only person from the Avengers, along with Joss Whedon, who didn't turn up. Everybody else was there. So to say it was a disappointment is kind of being perhaps a little harsh, because, you know, in terms of sheer talent on stage, the Marvel panel could have kind of almost eclipsed everybody. But I think we were expecting some big announcements about what films they've got coming up, and all we really found out about was that there's going to be Guardians of the Galaxy 2 in 2017.
Which is wonderful, but at the same time, yes, I suppose certainly in the light of the Edgar Wright, I'm on my way from Ant-Man scenario, and the lines in that one, might have thought perhaps there might have been one or two other areas there.
Well, they did have Ant-Man there, the Ant-Man cast were there, and they revealed a few things about who's playing who and things, but it was quite notable, I thought, that they didn't have any questions from the audience, because I think they might all have been Edgar Wright-shaped if there were.
I mean, this is the classic thing, of course, because, I mean, every so often, in terms of science fiction fandom, etc., I mean, one of the reasons we love it is because there are occasional controversies that come across with that. But when you actually set such high standards and such reveals over the years, is there a sort of sense that, well, didn't quite manage to nail it this time round?
I think so, yeah. I think, I think if you'd said 4 or 5 years ago, this Marvel would have got Robert Downey Jr., Chris Hemsworth, Chris Evans, Mark Ruffalo,
And all the rest of them. I think Samuel L. Jackson, you know, I could go on.
Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, just these galaxy stars. You'd have gone, oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
But I think because they've had the Avengers together before, and they got all the Guardians of the Galaxy cast, they flew them over during shooting last year. You know, it just feels a little bit like, you know, they need to do something special. And especially as DC, you know, the big rivals, brought along Ben Affleck and Gal Gadot, who's playing Wonder Woman, and Henry Cavill, who's Superman. So they had all three of them in the morning, which almost felt bigger because it was the first time, you know, we'd seen them together, and also we saw that reveal of the Wonder Woman costume. So, you know, it felt like Marvel, who traditionally owned this, didn't quite get it this year.
So dare we say that DC, not only with, of course, the rise of the Dawn of Justice and Gal Gadot, and, of course, the aforementioned Adam West and Burt Ward. I can't resist. It's fantastic. I'm just eagerly awaiting for the arrival on DVD of the classic 1960s series. Did DC perhaps actually sort of reclaim some of the ground that they've lost over the years?
Possibly. I mean, apparently the social media battle DC won, but I actually think this year was kind of an odd Comic-Con. It was actually quite short on really big stories. It was, you know, people did turn up. There were things here, but whereas last year, you know, there were all the X-Men here. There was Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm. There were various other things. It just felt like
Days of Future Past.
Tom Cruise turned up. You know, all these things. It was just this huge Super Saturday. And this year, it was like, yeah, it's okay, but nothing to sort of really sort of blow your mind.
Got to give reference to the current edition of SFX magazine, which features a little mini editorial viewpoint, which makes the point that if you don't sort of support things like Edge of Tomorrow, don't be surprised if you're constantly seeing sort of repackaged versions in Hollywood. From that point of view, I think it was one of the team who actually came up with that. Of course, it was one of the team who was actually around. Moving on, obviously TV series abounding now again with DC. We got Flash, we got the ongoing Arrow, we got Constantine. But we've also got the Marvel universe things from the point of view of the Defenders and so on. Any kind of buzz on that?
Well, Agent Carter and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. were here. Defenders and the Daredevil, the Netflix shows, they weren't really around. I think it's perhaps a little bit early for them. But the American network ABC, who did Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter were here, and they brought all the cast out. So there's plenty of talk about that. And that's interesting with the DC-Marvel sort of battle, though, that I think DC are currently ahead in TV terms because, you know, Arrow's been very, very successful. Mm. And Flash, you know, there's a lot of very good buzz on the pilot episode. So, that, you know, that looks like it's going to do well. And obviously Constantine, everyone wants to see this really good show because everyone was so disappointed by the Keanu Reeves movie.
Well, he tried, that's all I can say. He tried and didn't quite manage to nail it, really. Overall, though, was it your first at San Diego Comic-Con, or is it one that you can sort of add to the growing list of things you were at?
Oh, that was my seventh, I think.
Seventh,
so,
right.
So I've seen quite a few. I've seen it grow a lot over the last few years. So, yeah, I've seen a few.
Well, it's great stuff. Well, as we know, we are very excited because we've been focusing on Parsec for this edition on the conventions, and only a matter of weeks now, in fact less than that, before the 72nd World Science Fiction Convention actually launches. We were speaking to the organiser there, and in Bath, do you get this buzz? Because I've always likened it to kind of the equivalent for sci-fi terms to the Olympic Games coming to London, and it's like 49 years since it was last in London.
Yes, it's a very big deal. I mean, there's some really big names coming out over. You know, it's very different to Comic-Con, because obviously Comic-Con is more focused on the sort of, despite its name, is more focused on the TV and film. I mean, they're what gets the big headlines. But, you know, this is a really good chance to celebrate authors and, you know, all the great science fiction that's out there. So, yeah, it's very exciting.
It's good stuff. So SFX will presumably be represented, though not, I gather, by yourself this time around.
I won't be there this time, though I did get to go to San Diego, so I can't really complain. But, yeah, there will be members of the team out there.
Well, we're certainly hopefully going to be covering some of the excitement of the Sci-Fi London Film Festival. Marks out of 10 for San Diego Comic-Con International 2014, Richard?
Against Comic-Con, I'd say probably a 7, but, you know, compared to other events, it's up 8, 9, you know. Yeah.
So, satisfactory, but not quite the blockbuster that maybe we'd anticipated.
which you can't say about this edition of Parsec. We are quite literally out of time. Back with another fantastic Parsec, probably with Dave Milling and yours truly, Alex Levchuk, next month.